This is a Collider.com audio interview.
How was Comic-Con? I've got to ask you that after.
It was great. Well, we got to walk around the second day. That first day we were just doing, it was like interviews all day, and we walked around the floor for like 5 minutes, but the second day we spent the entire day just walking around.
You're a bit of a geek?
What?
Are you a geek?
You forget what a geek you are until you get there, and like I've realized how much I was repressing my inner geek because I was like, oh my god, original Star Wars figures in their packaging, and I like got really like I started getting like really excited. I bought like an old Nintendo. I bought like Metroid and Kid Icarus. I was getting so off on like the, all the everything. At first we were like kind of like cool and like trying to make fun of it and like look at these guys, and then like by the end of the day we were like, I wish I had an orc costume to wear. Like, it was kind of awesome. I said to one guy, he was dressed as Obi-Wan, like the Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I was like, he goes, hey, we were taking pictures with all these people like walking around, and I said, hey, he goes, I really like your work, man. I go, oh, that means so much coming from you. Thank you, Mr. McGregor. I love all your work. Because he actually did look a lot like him, too. And the guy was, like, kind of, like, confused. And he kept trying to interject. He was like, oh, no, I'm not really. And I was like, no, I mean, not only Star Wars. Like, you know, even, like, a train spotting. He's like, I mean, all your work. Were like, and I just, like, played it very random. He's like, oh, I'm not. And I said, no, I'm kidding. And he was like, oh, okay. But you do look a lot like him. And he goes, and it was, like, the nicest thing he'd ever heard. He was like, thank you so much. That means so much. Like, it was like the greatest compliment he ever heard. It was fun. It was fun.
Was it surprising?
It's the only anecdote I got for you guys.
Yeah,
you quote me on that one.
We are now. I have a question, which is before we get into Accepted, or let's talk about Accepted for a second.
Please.
So, how did you get involved with the project?
Affected, as I like to call it. It was just a sort of standard. I had a meeting about it like a year before we started shooting, and one of those meetings where you just feel like you're probably one of many names on some list. And at the time, I feel like the more work you do, the higher up on the list you get. And at the time, I think I was like just below, you know, like Mario Lopez or something. I was like, they go through the Topher and Adam Brody and all those guys, and I feel like it was one of those meetings where they're like, if we can't get these people, we might as well like have some backups, you know. And like, so I had that meeting, which I didn't think anything of because those are like a dime a dozen and usually don't amount to anything. And then, you know, as the months went on, they were like, I would hear more about it, and I'm sure as people started to pass on it, like, it would get more, like, there was more talk about it, and then they had me come in and read, and it was that. It was just sort of, like, very standard. I got the part, and I sort of was somewhat resistant to doing it, because at the time I had just done these two movies, like, sort of at the same time. Sasquatch Dumpling Gang, where I play, like, it was the most fun I've ever had playing a part. I played, like, this redneck, kind of, like, mullet, like, mustache, like, crazy, like, little redneck guy. And then I did The Breakup at the same time, which was, you know, kind of like a very effete, art gallery worker. So it was like I was really into playing. I was like, this will be great. I'll play, like, characters. I wanted, like, just, this is a career that I would love to have, is just to play these like weird characters for the rest of my life. And then this came up, and the script was kind of underwritten and not very funny. And I was 20, I just turned 27, you know, so I was like, I don't know, the kid's in high school, he was like 18-year-old again. And I sort of resisted doing it. And then they offered some money. I was like, well, let me think about that again. Okay. And my agents were like, you know, you'd be kind of foolish to turn this down. This is like a good chance for you. And I'm glad I did it. I'm really glad they sort of like got me to do it. Cause I think I think the people involved kind of made it more than what it could have been, you know. Not to say that it's not Citizen Kane, but it for what it is, like, it's actually better. That's what I meant. It's not as bad as Citizen Kane. That's what I meant by that. But I'm happy that I ended up doing it. I mean, that it wasn't like and it was not a great story. I just kind of got the part and I got offered the part. I was like, that's it. Quote me on that too.
I was going to say two things. One, I appreciate the honesty because it's rare with a lot of times with people, you know, blah blah blah. But
that's my new thing.
Honestly?
Yeah,
brutal.
Yeah.
You're willing to say that at the round test.
Right. I'm also wearing a condom right now. I forgot to take it.
It's been used recently.
Yeah.
Here's my follow-up. I was digging around, seeing some of the stuff that you have been that you've done.
Yeah.
Besides accepted, and one of the things I was surprised to find out was that you're in the new Mike Judge. Well, new when I, you know, you're in a film that was, you know, the follow-up right. to Office Space in essence. Yet
the new old Mike Judge.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a year and a half ago, I think it was supposed to come out, and. What's your feeling on that film? I mean, what do you know?
Well, all I know is that it was the funniest script I'd ever read. I remember, like, it was up there. Like, Anchorman was great. Those script, but it was, I think it was up there with, like, the best scripts I'd ever read. And so I just purely, like, as a fan of Mike Judge, like, it was cool to read the script and, like, get to, because I'm, like, as I mentioned, I'm, like, a huge nerd, and, like, Mike Judge is, like, a big, you know, idol of mine. Get to read it and to do. I just did one scene in it. I mean, I worked literally like one day. I play a doctor who examines Luke Wilson. But you know the story. It's like takes place in the future, and basically everybody in the future is society is like devolved intellectually to the point where like everyone's like a Beavis and Butthead type character. You know, they're all like. And I played a guy. I didn't know how to do it. You didn't want to make it like a retarding. You didn't want to do like a you didn't want to do like a. It was hard to kind of toe the line between doing like a. Retarding guy and playing someone who's too smart, so it was a weird mix. And I just worked with a guy in this movie who really sweet guy, but I did this movie Waiting, and he had been working on the movie for a couple days, kind of like a good looking guy in like a kind of Neanderthalic way, kind of like Cro-Magnon, like good looking, like square jaw, like lowbrow, and he but like rich. He had like kind of like wristbands and like sideways Von Dutch hat, like one of those guys. And I finally asked him, I don't want to say his name, but I was like, John Doe, at the risk of sounding condescending, like, what is it that you do? Because he would just kind of hang out, you know. I didn't get a good beat on what he did there. And he goes, well, I'm kind of like an assistant producer, or, and he goes, or an assistant to the producer or something. And I go, well, that's kind of two different things, like, kind of like very different things. And I go, well, which one is it? Like assistant to the producer, or like assistant producer? And he goes, well, like you would know better than me. I was like, really? Would I? So I kind of just did that guy who's just kind of like, you know, like I examined Luke Wilson. I remember one of my lines was like, all right, like I come in with like a clipboard and I go, all right, so I guess your shit's kind of retarded. It was like my diagnosis for that. It was that his shit's retarded. And I have this line where I go, it was like an amalgam of like how goodbye was like, I forget what it used to be, like the phrase goodbye. What was it? It was like goodbye, like to good morrow's eve or something like that, and it like got shortened into goodbye. So in the future, how's it hanging becomes how zang. So I just go, how zang? Hey, how zang? And I remember the rest of the day, Luke Wilson, it was like he hadn't read the script. He was so like tickled by that line. He was like, how zang? That's really funny. How zang? And he kept like repeating it to me. Like even when I see him now, he's like, how zang? I remember that line. He was like, and just to hear Mike Judge give direction was like, it's the greatest, because it was like he's sort of like Hank Hill meets like Butthead. He's just kind of like, he's like, hey, like that was really funny. Try it again. It was really funny though. And he had like a very, he was awesome. And I got all nerdy with him, and I had him do my like outgoing message like later that night. We all went out for drinks, and all day I was like, how am I gonna ask him to do it? How? Because my last one was Steve Root doing Milton from Office Space, and it was like, hello, you've reached Justin Long, and I'm looking for my stapler, and like I can't find, you know, it was like one of those, like, and I had it for like a year, and it overstayed its welcome, so I was like, how am I gonna get Mike Judge to, and so I go, we had been like drinking a little bit, and I was like, Mike, do people ever ask you to do, like, guys, like, awkwardly ever ask you to do their outgoing messages as Beavis and Butthead? And he goes, because I just, I go, that must be annoying, right? And he goes, yeah, sometimes they do, why, do you want me to do yours? And I was like, yeah, I mean, if you want to. He just said very standard, like, he actually messed up the first time, and I wish I had left that, because he was like, you've reached Justin's machine. Leave a message in there. Sorry, I kind of messed that one up. It was like, great, I should have left that. But he left, like, a very standard, like, this is Justin's machine. Leave a message. And that got old really fast, so,
So why did this film's been delayed though in terms of release? Why do you?
I don't know. I heard a rumor that it was. The first thing you assume is that it's not testing well, and I can imagine actually, because having done like a few movies now, like I'm kind of more privy to like the all the stock that they put in these like test audiences, you know, and they can really alter like the outcome of a movie. And I've been to a lot of test screenings, like, because I'm cheap and I like to go to movies for free. It's getting a little harder to do that now because they're always like, "Are you in the industry? You look kind of like that guy." But these people just kind of like write, you know, whatever they say, like it carries a lot of weight. And I feel like there's something about the movie that's, it's a little like extreme. Like, it, you know, they're like, I just remember in the script, they're like dildos as like hood ornaments, and like they're really into like sex and like very primal things. And there's a movie in the script, like the hit movie that's out, is just called like Dude Farting, and it's just like a shot of like a guy's ass, and every once on like the big screen, and like every a couple of seconds, it would just like fart, just be like, and people like like the audience would like laugh, and so I felt like it might be a little extreme.
That's
like
it's intellectual,
right? It's very, but it is. It's like a. It's like, and there's like a. It's frightening how like kind of accurate the movie might be. You know, like how like it's about the McDonaldization of society and how. You know, at the risk of sounding pretentious, there is like a frightening message in the movie, and it is kind of like a very kind of like lowbrow, highbrow movie in a weird way. It's like very smart, very dumb comedy. Maybe it's just they kind of diluted it with cuts to the point where it was like just lowbrow, you know, and I don't know what the problem. I talked to Mike about it a while ago when I went into Loop for it, and he was like. He was like, I don't really know. I mean, they just keep like pushing it back. Like he didn't seem to know what it was. But if they came close to capturing what was in the script, I don't know how it's not going to be funny. I don't know how it's not going to be a good movie. But who knows?
I was going to say that they sat on Office Space for about a year and a half, and then it was the number one DVD.
That's the thing.
They have no idea what they're doing with this film. You know what I mean? I mean, the Fox fucked it up last time. They're going to, you know.
Well, September 1st is like a weird, and it's like a lot of special effects. I think they don't know. September 1st, I think.
Just before the festival, so that's bad.
They're actually releasing it in September of this year.
That's what I heard, September 1st. I've seen posters for it.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
My publicist was like, definitely September 1st, and which is a bad sign because I haven't seen trailers. I haven't seen, like...
I haven't seen anything on
It may be, you know, I've heard, like, really mixed things. I've heard that it's, like, genius, and it's, like, it's too... But I've heard that it's too... People didn't know how to handle it, and, like, you know, it tested really poorly. That happened with the breakup, you know, that ending for the breakup. That was my first, like, experience with, like, how much a test audience can influence a movie, that they just hated the ending, so they had to reshoot the ending. They hated the fact that, like, Jen and Vince weren't, you know, there wasn't hope for them. And that was the whole concept of the movie, was that, like, they were going to do, like, you know, like, the pattern and after, like, a 70s, like, romance, where it was sort of, like, ambiguous at the end, and, you know.
American audiences don't get ambiguity, and they don't like negative endings with too big stuff like that.
Right, and which I kind of get. If somebody said, well, it's realistic, and that's what happens in life, but that's not why you go to the movies to kind of escape.
Would you think they keep that ending on the DVD? Do you think that
I hope so, because I did a thing in the ending that I is like my favorite thing I've ever done, where they cut to, it was Jen and Vince, they had a scene that was sort of like an Annie Hall like subtext scene, but they were with two different people. They had met each other 6 months later, and then they cut to, it was an outside, it was a fair, and they cut to the stage, and
I saw that scene.
Oh, did you see it?
I went to the test screening of that.
Oh, you did?
So the whole performance on the stage?
You did illegally.
I heard it just doesn't fit. It's like a weird... I feel like my character in that movie and some other characters just don't fit.
They're trying to send you out of the theater. I mean, they showed it in Burbank. They're trying to send you out with this happy message.
We sing like Rainbow Connection at the end. Like the Tone Rangers, like John Michael Higgins, and they're all in like sequin cowboy outfits, and they're like, bum, 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 and all in like sequin, like magic. And then after the second verse, they're all lined up and they part, and I'm in like a tonto, like gay little, like with a loincloth and like a feather, and I'm like, someday we'll fight, and it's like my big reveal. I'm like, I walk down like stage with like, and I'm holding hands with John, and like we both found each other, and we're like, the Rainbow Connection, and I'm like singing my like heart out, and it was like the most fun, ridiculous, and the hardest thing to shoot, because it was to look at John and not laugh, because he's so like committed and like, and it's so ridiculous. I feel like it just didn't fit. And I didn't know until the premiere. And I saw Vince afterwards, and he was like, what'd you think of the movie? You know, and I was like, it was great, but I didn't know they cut that that ending. And he was like, I forgot to tell you, it's going to be on the DVD. And he felt bad. But I can see it just not. It was like a weird, like, I don't know. And then they pan up to shit. You saw it.
It's, you know something? It's a very funny scene. But the problem is that it's trying too hard to send you out of the theater with that happy
message. Yeah.
Which, it's perfect for the DVD, but yeah. It's weird for the ending.
That's what they thought, yeah. You and like a lot
unaccepted,
of other...
Unaccepted, are we expecting... Unaccepted, are we expecting a much different set on DVD?
I don't know. We shot so much on the movie. Because we had lived a lot and we shot... The script was kind of like not entirely there, so they shot a lot of stuff that we just kind of came up with on the fly. I don't know if it'll be...
Stuff like that?
Yeah. A lot of like that kind of stuff. A lot of like outtakes. A lot of like... Because we would do some runs that just were too long. I mean, Joan and I were both big fans of like... You know, the kind of like Judd Apatow school where it's just sort of like go and like talk and like... And like Adam McKay does a lot of that, where they just like shoot so much shit. But like this had to move. It was like a teen comedy, so they didn't have a lot of room for like like long runs, like in 40-Year-Old Virgin, where it's like you know you're gay when like and we did stuff like that that I just didn't think is like it'll be like an outtake kind of stuff.
Before they take you away, we're hearing a rumor that you might be involved in a very big sequel story.
They did their own fucking research.
What I'm hearing is that you might be playing the son of John McClane.
No, I the thing is, it's scary to talk about. Not to be like I can't talk about it because no one said, but I literally I don't have the offer. So like it scares me to like even put it out there because God forbid.
Well, they were supposed to talk about stuff at Comic-Con for a certain sequel called Die Hard 4. But anyway,
never heard of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Wink.
But they actually didn't announce it, and it's supposed to be Len, the guy who did Underworld. It's supposed to be directed.
Len Wiseman, yeah. Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure about that info.
Yeah.
Die Hard 5.
That's whose hand I shook yesterday.
Yeah. Fred in Die Hard 5.
Yeah.
And you play John McClane in Flashback.
Right. I'm going to shave my head. I'm going to divorce Demi Moore, and I'm going to play John McClane. Right. Join the club.
So let's just ask the question. Do you think in the next very near future that there's going to be some sort of announcement?
Yeah.
Hypothetically speaking, about
purely hypothetically, like I, if an announcement were to be made about a big like franchise movie, it would be hopefully next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Monday or Tuesday, I'm like, it's going to be hard for me to sleep this weekend. But yeah, and God forbid, like it's weird to like, I would love to like sing it from the rooftops, but like God forbid.
Are you hanging out for more money? Is that what it is?
It's yeah, exactly. It's the sequel to to One Crazy Summer. And it's a sequel to Camp Nowhere, and it's called Exception.
Actually, Jeepers 3, I believe, is what it is.
Yeah, Jeepers Creepers 3. Big announcement in the trades.
I'll do a... you're working, as a last question, you're working with Jonah Hill a lot on one part...
Herbie Reloaded.
Sorry.
Herbie Fully Reloaded.
You know what you're doing with Jonah Hill? Yeah.
Big announcement. I know everyone's been waiting. Are they going to do a sequel to Herbie Fully Loaded? It's coming out, yeah.
Herbie Reloaded?
I like that Herbie Fully Reloaded. Just came up with that.
Okay, so... You're working with Jonah Hill on One Part Sugar, Strange Wilderness.
Right.
You did this together. I mean, what's going on there?
We're going to couples counseling. It's getting weird. Yeah, we're roommates. Jonah's actually my roommate as well, and it's getting weird. I have a Jonah Hill clause in my contract where I can only if I do him. Yeah.
He Die Hard 4 as well.
He's John McClane.